from Storyflow. This is your daily audio brief for July 16th. It's Jessica, July 16th. 10 stories from overnight. Sourcing first, take second. Let's get into it. First, from The Hill. New York Times files motion to quash subpoenas following Air Force One coverage. So, I just got done reading about this. The New York Times has filed a motion to quash subpoenas from the Trump administration. The administration had issued these subpoenas after a report from the Times about the new Air Force One, which apparently they're not happy about. The Times is arguing that the subpoenas are abusive and an overreach of executive power. They're claiming that the administration is trying to intimidate them into revealing sources. This is all happening because the report included details about the plane's interior, which the administration had hoped to keep under wraps. Next. Second, from the Hindu Top. New York Times files motion to quash subpoenas served on journalists over Air Force One coverage. The New York Times has filed a motion to quash subpoenas that the Justice Department served on journalists who reported on security concerns involving the new Qatari-gifted Air Force One, teeing up a significant court fight over press freedom and the government's ability to force reporters to identify sources up next. Third, from The Guardian, U.S., New York Times files motion to quash Justice Department subpoenas. Journalists who had reported on security concerns around the new Air Force One, a gift from Qatar, received summons. The New York Times on Wednesday filed a motion to quash subpoenas the Justice Department served journalists who reported on security concerns involving the new Qatari-gifted Air Force One, teeing up a significant court fight over press freedom and the government's ability to force reporters to identify sources. As we set out in our motion, these subpoenas are brought in bad faith to punish the Times for its coverage. And then, fourth, from Independent. New York Times files motion to quash subpoenas served on journalists over Air Force One coverage. Hey, so you know how the government sometimes tries to get reporters to spill on their sources? Well, the New York Times is pushing back hard. They just filed a motion to quash these subpoenas the Justice Department sent out to journalists who were reporting on those security concerns with the new Air Force One, the one Qatar gifted us. This is shaping up to be a pretty big deal for press freedom, honestly. The core of it is that the government wants to know who gave these reporters information about potential vulnerabilities. The Times is arguing, and I think it's a really strong point, that forcing their journalists to reveal their sources would essentially chill reporting. If sources can't trust that their anonymity will be protected, they're not going to come forward with important information, especially when it comes to national security or, you know, the plane the president flies on. This isn't just about this one instance either. It's about setting a precedent. If the government can easily subpoena reporters and force them to reveal sources in cases like this, it could make it a lot harder for journalists to do their jobs effectively in the future. It's a real balancing act between the government's need to investigate and the public's right to know, and the press's ability to report that information without fear. The Times is really standing up for that. Next. Fifth, from The Guardian World, hundreds of refugees feared dead after two suspected shipwrecks off Myanmar, UN. So, I was digging into this story, and it's looking like hundreds of refugees are feared dead after two suspected shipwrecks off Myanmar. The UN is saying that these vessels likely departed from Myanmar in late June, and they were carrying mostly Muslim Rohingya minority. The UN's International Organization for Migration and Refugee Agency are sounding the alarm, saying that two boats carrying over 500 people might have capsized off the coast of Myanmar in recent days. From what I've gathered, the IOM and UNHCR are working together to get more information. But it's tough, because these incidents happened on the high seas. They're really worried about the scale of this tragedy, and they're urging governments to do more to help. The Rohingya are already a vulnerable group, and this is just another devastating blow. I've seen reports that the boats were overcrowded and lacked proper safety equipment, which is just heartbreaking. The UN is calling on governments to step up their efforts to rescue people at risk and to provide more support to those affected. It's a really tough situation, and I'm just hoping that more information comes out soon so we can get a better understanding of what happened. Up next. Sixth, from The Guardian World. Australian patients' medical records could be sold on dark web after clinic's data breach. So here's what I found out. A cyber attack on Partnered Health on June 23rd compromised the data of 21 clinics across Sydney, Melbourne, and Canberra. The breach involved sensitive information like Medicare numbers, treatment details, and pathology results. A malicious actor accessed this data, and now an expert is warning that it could end up on the dark web. Partnered Health confirmed the breach, but it's still unclear how many patients are affected. And then, 7th, from The Guardian UK, from Cambridge imposter to New Labour star, Andy Burnham's winding path to power. Andy Burnham's political journey started in the summer of 1987 when, at 17, he stood for Labour in a school hustings, while the national election pitted Margaret Thatcher against Neil Kinnock. In the small town of Newton Le Willows, his speech impressed the crowd, but a prank by his supporters cut the microphone's plug just as the opposing Conservative candidate began his turn. The incident went unnoticed by Burnham himself, and despite the disruption, he still won comfortably in a strongly Labour-leaning area. That early win hinted at his natural appeal and the enthusiasm of his local base, setting the stage for a career that would later see him move from London politics to a prominent role in Manchester, ultimately rising to become a leading figure in New Labour. Next, 8th, from Bloomberg Top, S. Africa Finance Chief reviews $219 billion. Fund CEO suspension. South Africa's finance minister let me know the board of the continent's largest asset manager came to the government with a briefing. They've decided to suspend the fund's chief executive because of alleged governance concerns. The minister said the ministry will take a close look at the details after sitting down with the people directly involved. For now, the fund keeps running, but everyone's watching how the review shapes up. Up next. 9th, from Washington Post. Europe's cocaine highway leads to military-style crackdowns. A call-to-action memo urges European nations to adopt engine-disabling tactics and shooting. But the proposals stop well short of the missile strikes on alleged smuggling vessels adopted by the Trump administration. And then, 10th, from the Hindu Top. U.S. Mint will produce $1 coin with Trump's image, Treasury Secretary says. So the U.S. Mint is going to produce a $1 coin with an image of Trump on it. The front of the coin will have the words Liberty, In God We Trust, and 1776-2026 on it. The back will feature an image of the bald eagle from the presidential seal. This design is actually a revised version of a draft that was made public a few months ago, in October. The new design is supposed to be an update to that original draft. The coin's design is pretty classic, with the eagle on the back being a familiar image from the presidential seal. The words on the front are also pretty standard for U.S. currency. The addition of the years 1776-2026 is a nice touch, giving the coin a sense of history and commemoration. It's worth noting that the design of the coin has been finalized, and it will be produced by the U.S. Mint. The image of Trump on the coin is a significant part of the design, and it will be interesting to see how the public reacts to it. Overall, the coin's design is a mix of classic and modern elements, with a clear nod to American history and tradition. That's the day. Back at the desk tomorrow. What to watch is in your subscribe link. If this saved you time, the full feed is free at storyflow.com.